This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Julian Ng and Wong Xiaoning. It is 7.06 in the morning, Wednesday the 16th of October. And over in the US, earnings season has begun. So far, looking so good. The Dow Jones was up 0.9%, the S&P 500 closed up 1%, and the Nasdaq climbed the most, 1.2%.
And over in Asia, Japan did well, up almost 2%. The Shanghai Composite was down 0.6%, and Hang Seng was barely changed, so was Kospi as well. But the STI was down 0.33%. And back home over here, the FBM KLCI was down 0.1%.
So for more on global markets this morning, we have on the line with us Dodge Dorland, Chief Investment Officer at Lander Wealth Management in New York. Good morning, Dodge. Thanks for joining us. Now, U.S. retail sales are due, and this is one of the markers that the data-dependent Fed will probably be looking at in order to decide whether to cut rates in October. What are your expectations out of this?
Good morning. Well, the market expects a 0.2% rise. We expect somewhere between 0.2 and 0.25, a little bit better than what is generally expected. I think what the Fed is looking for is something like 0.2 or something below. Not that 0.2 is not expected, it is. It's just that it is not good enough to potentially offset the risk of what's going in geopolitics these days. So, I think at this point, we expect the Fed to seriously consider and cut rates in October unless the retail sales are so much better than expected, and that would be a 0.3 or above.
And Dodge, I mean, if we look at in terms of the union strikes at General Motors, right, it has cost the company close to $1 billion to date. Yet when trading opened, the shares have held steady in the intraday trade. Does this signal a bottoming out in their overall decline?
Well, that was a reaction to the GM's chief executive officer, Mary Barra, and the president, Mark Lewis, joining over, I think it was a dozen other GM negotiators for an hour-long discussion with the UAW bargainers. So it was a perception that GM was getting serious about resolving the issues that created some support for General Motors. Now, General Motors is trading below the 200-day moving average, which indicates that even longer-term investors now are less than saying they're not happy about what's going on and are trying to unload. On the positive side, we do see a higher load. So there is a chance that if some kind of resolution to the negotiations happen, then we may see General Motors get back above 38, 39. If that happens, then the reaction is much more positive. Then it becomes a positive unless there's some really negative reaction to the bargaining. But so far, it's a negative perception that's been boosted on a positive side by some serious negotiations going on. We have to see if they turn out to be some resolution between the two.
And Dodge, also the corporate results season is out for the third quarter. What are your expectations here, and do you expect any surprises?
I do. Now, this is because before the news of the China-U.S. trade war cessation, or whatever you want to call it, obviously it was a little bit more positive last week, but it's still viewed as both sides wanting to end it for now on an interim basis. The market, there was a negative market environment, and we expected a negative reaction if the results, as they come out now, are less than a clear positive surprise, i.e. not just top-line numbers. After the change in the perception of what's going on between China and the U.S., we have a much more positive environment, and so we expect the reaction to results will be more constructive unless the announcement is clearly negative. And again, we're not talking about just top-line numbers. So the other thing that we are seeing now is there is little follow-through to the initial reaction. And so we're going to want to see if the results continue to be positive, then we expect there to be more follow-through, particularly on the positive side. Now, coming up, Netflix tomorrow, and we're going to watch that and see what it says about programming competition. That might be an area that will have surprises. The other three that we do expect surprises, retail, technology, and healthcare. So much is going on in the three, and what we're watching is the market reaction to the news, not just the news.
And Dajia, there has been a lot of news also surrounding Facebook's Libra currency, because it looks like it may be struggling after a number of its major payment backers pulled out of the project. Has this affected your views on Facebook?
Yes, absolutely. We're not as positive, and Facebook now has to prove that it can adapt and react to future potential opportunities. We are seeing some support from long-term investors as long as it holds 177. It closed at 188, so it's well above that. So far, there's not much of a pressure to move to the upside, but right now, there is really not much negativity in the market's reaction to what's going on. But we need to see something more positive. We need to see it get into the 190s and to get out above 200 before we become, longer-term positive. So Facebook now needs to prove itself. Otherwise, we will be reducing our positions.
Thank you so much, Dodge. And that was Dodge Dolan, Chief Investment Officer at Landa Wealth Management, with his thoughts on Facebook as well as the rest of the US earnings season. And as he pointed out, Netflix tomorrow should be quite interesting, because I wonder what's going to happen there, considering they've seen quite a number of competitors announcing their products.
Yeah, coming up soon. And they have, on a certain package, one of the most expensive pricing in the market. I'm sure they will come up with sort of like a cheap package to make it more affordable. Apple is in the fray now, and there is the onset of Disney as well.
But it's not like they're going to make a profit. I think that the street is still expecting losses.
Profits?
From
what profits? Well, look at WeWork.
And yes,
profit.
There's the lesson. Everybody, after a while, you know, earnings do count. You can't just like talk about the concept or the technology.
Yeah, no, I don't know what you're talking about, Shaoning. The trendy thing is price to sales now, right?
Oh, enough of that. Make some real money, guys.
But also looking at some other international headlines this morning, according to Bloomberg report, China is willing to buy more agricultural goods from the US as agreed upon in the limited deal last week. But apparently it's not likely to reach the 40 to 50 billion as Trump suggested. Now, Beijing reportedly wants a rollback in tariffs before it can buy as much as 50 billion worth of products.
Yeah, I think this really demonstrates how far apart the US and China are. They have been talking about this for a very long time and not close to reaching some kind of a compromise. And for the right political reasons as well, I think the US wouldn't want to give up the kind of leverage that they have had over China over the past few years. And this has also put China on the defensive, right? Their hand is being forced to fight the US.
I mean, there are still some issues unresolved. I think the big one is intellectual property. They do need to make some headway with regards to this. And also from a Trump perspective, do you think that he really wants to wrap up a trade deal before his presidential elections? It's the kind of rhetoric that he would like to use, right, as he goes into 2020. And every time his poll numbers come down, you notice that he gets a little bit more active on social media and complains about China, complains about the rest of the world, against us US, make us great again.
It might play against him, though, because if the trade dispute weighs in on the global economy, as the IMF has predicted, right, slowing growth for the world, then people may be more dissatisfied with him. And also, you know, with regards to the sanctions that are being brought upon Turkey, already the steel sector is complaining that this is a terrible policy. So his kind of rhetoric may play against him.
But now that China is seen to almost have capitulated, right, to his demands, he may want to ride that wave into the 2020 elections, because he's playing it off like a victory. So it would be, presumably, for his supporters who have supported him in the move to harden his stance against other players on the international stand. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. But now the other thing that we asked Dodge also this morning was about Facebook, because in the latest blow for their digital currency project, they seem to struggle to secure regulatory approval to meet Libra's planned 2020 launch date. Now this delay follows months of warnings from politicians, officials and regulators that the project carries risks for financial stability as well as money laundering.
I think on Facebook's side, this would really revolutionize how payments are being made, because the payments are very expensive right now. It's done through the traditional routes. But of course, for the regulators, this is like creating a new currency, right? And obviously, they're going to be worried about this. And the other thing about Facebook is that when you launch this kind of Libra coin, you need capital, and therefore there
are. But that's not something they're short of, right, Facebook?
Well, not. It has to be quite transparent, right? It cannot be just Facebook alone, otherwise people would be leery of what Facebook is trying to do. But they have gathered a whole bunch of people that are supposed to be founding members of Libra. And like WeWork, right, one by one, these founding members are pulling out. For example, Booking.com is the latest online travel group on Monday to pull out, following the other big names that have pulled out, including PayPal, MasterCard, Visa. I mean, these are some of the biggest names in payments.
Yeah, I would argue that physical capital is maybe not Facebook's main problem here when it comes to the Libra, as so much as it is the trust capital. Because they announced the Libra just after they had seen Cambridge Analytica, a number of data breaches. So people don't really trust Facebook with the amount of information that would come with the ability to operate an e-wallet almost.
That's right.
So having all of these backers was supposed to help bolster that name, and it seems that those are falling off. So who knows what's going to happen?
Outsourcing the trust, as it were.
Indeed, outsourcing the trust. Right now, though, we have a few messages for you, and then we'll be coming back with a look at some local stories. So be sure to stay tuned here on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.